This is Helen Camphouse, or Campus actually. Today's date is the 3rd of November. Its time is 9:12, and I'm conducting an interview with
Helen Ridgway.
Okay, hello. For the Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilters. And am I allowed to call your first name, Helen?
Please.
Okay. Helen and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Helen will tell you about the quilt you bought today. Could you please explain?
Right. Well, what I want to talk about, because my quilt that is in the book, The Lone Star Legacy, is a group quilt. And this behind me is a group quilt also. And so I want to talk about our bee and how our group works together.
Okay.
This quilt is called Fairy Frenzy.
Yes.
And it started as a quilt with five balloons and a big bow at the bottom. And since you're looking at it, you can tell it looks nothing like five balloons with a big bow at the bottom.
No, no. Which part is the balloons?
Right. Right. So we were all charged to make a balloon. There are eight of us in this group. And we came up with the idea just through throwing out ideas, and one of our members drafted this pattern of these balloons. And we thought that would be cute. We've mm-hmm. always made a quilt together every 2 years since we've been together.
Okay.
And we've been together about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we go on retreat every year for 4 days and at a little town at a B&B close by to our home. And we kind of come up with ideas and start our quilt together there. So we all went home from this meeting, and we're going to have our retreat next, and we're all supposed to make something that looked like a balloon. And so we were just doing little ideas, and I remember well that I did this one up here in the far right. I only did a quarter of it because I thought, oh my gosh, that got pretty big, and it was going to be round. I was going to have four of those. And they call me the anal person in our group because I like little points and everything to work together. Some of them are way more artsy than I am. I consider myself a traditional quilter. And so I did that one with all those little pieces at the top, and I thought, I'm going to be exhausted by the time I get around this. But I brought mine, and a couple of people made little ones that you see down here. Those that really do look like small balloons. And then I think the rest of these were made later. So as when we brought them together, we thought, I think those look like flowers, not like balloons. Why don't we make a garden? So we scrapped the bow and we scrapped the balloons, and we decided to make a garden. We still didn't have fairies in it at all, but so we all started using, I hate to tell you, ugly fabrics that we had in our stash. And we put all these, what we thought were ugly fabrics, together and made all of these flowers. And they're all paper pieced and then appliqued onto the background. We had a hard time coming up with the background, and somebody had this green batik in their stash, and so they gave it to us. So we did that, and then we started putting the stems on the flowers, and we started fraying some of them. We thought that was cute. We turned one of them upside over the leaves, and then we decided, what were we going to do at the bottom of this thing? So then somebody said, well, if it's a garden, we probably need some grass. So we took all those greens and we put a fusible on the back of them, and then we kind of swirled them down there and put all that green there. Then we still didn't have a way to stop it. So we must have worked on ending this quilt at the bottom for 3 months. We did different things, you know, we came up with different fabrics, we came up with different ideas, and then do you see this horrible fabric right there? This one right here.
Yeah.
That was something that I had, and I mean, it's scary fabric. It was
mm-hmm.
really
yucky. Mm-hmm.
And we cut out pieces of it and put it down there, and then we decided to scallop the bottom, and then we decided to put all of this on
yeah.
there.
And what made you choose the ladybugs?
Well, and then we decided, somebody said, I think I see little fairies poking out. I think that would be a good idea. So she hand-painted all these fairy faces, and then we made the wings, and we put those behind the grass, and then she put this one flying off the edge over there. And then somebody said, well, I have these little ladybugs, and so we put some of those on there. And then somebody said, I think we should do these shishi mirrors, and we put those on there. So it was just a conglomeration, and it took us about 18 months to make this.
Okay.
And then...
And why do you choose to work together?
Because we love each other.
Okay.
We've been together all this time. We meet once a month, and then we go on this retreat once a year. And we've just had a bond, you know. There were eight of us originally.
Okay.
And one of our members died, and then we got somebody in her place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had two other members move away.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten new people over the years. But we all seem to get along, but we all have different talents and strengths. You know, we decided to put rickrack on, somebody did, and we thought that was cute, and it just evolved, and that's how we have done quilts together over the years.
And you always choose to do projects together, or do you also make your own quilts?
Well, we definitely all make our own quilts,
okay.
And we bring them to our meetings for people to help us and to critique and say, no, you might want to do this or that. And that's how to do this.
And you just mentioned that you were a traditional quilter. This is a little bit more arty, if I'm allowed to say so. How is that for you to be, you know, working in two kind of different areas?
Well, it's really fun and exciting. They have stretched me to be more artsy. And I don't think that I have any talent. I think I'm just a plotter and I can just make seams correctly and everything. I never sewed on the sewing machine in my life until I started quilting. I was a hand quilter, a hand sewer.
Yeah.
I made all of my daughter's clothes by hand. I did the rolling and whipping and entredeau and all the, the French sewing by hand. And then I smocked, and I did needlepoint, I'm a knitter, I did all of that. And when we retired and moved to the Texas Hill Country, I told my husband I'd always wanted to quilt. And I saw a little thing in the newspaper about the Quilt Guild, and I went, and these women just took me under their arms.
Okay.
They taught me everything.
And what made you... go for that transition? I mean, this is a lot more arty. You were making traditional things, but also that can be used, children's clothes, and now you're doing very art kind of projects.
But I'm still doing traditional on my own.
Okay.
However, I did do one small art quilt.
Okay.
And that got accepted into Houston, and I won second place with it in my category. I mean, it blew me away. You know, I mean, I'm thinking,
wow.
How in the world did this happen? You know, but I just did it, and it happened, and so that happens.
Yeah.
But if I were choosing something to make, I would go for either machine embroidery or traditional.
Okay. Okay. And how did you enter those quilts? Was it your own idea to enter the quilts, or a group decision?
Our group decides to enter it. And at the end of making a quilt, we enter it in our quilt show, our hometown quilt show. And then we draw names, and one person wins it. And if you've won one, you can't win another one until everybody's won one. And we're all back at the beginning now. We've all won one, so we're getting ready to start over.
Okay, yeah. Congratulations.
And I own Hot Flashes, the one that's in the book.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, so that's
and
yours.
And this one another friend of mine owns.
Okay. Why is the are you interested in quilt making? What made you choose quilt making?
Well, my grandmother was a quilter.
Okay.
And I really loved being with her. She was a stabilizing influence in my life. And when I was in the eighth grade, I was having some difficulty at home, and so she got me to help her make a quilt. So I cross-stitched a whole double bed quilt when I was in eighth grade myself. And then I quilted the whole thing with the punch and poke method, and I still have it, you know. But of course, I never, ever quilted again. But I did make little cross-stitch things for my children when they were born, little quilts. But then I just thought when we retired, my grandmother had died, and that was what I wanted to do.
Okay.
So I did.
Yes.
These women just surrounded me and carried me along.
Right. But you say that you're not self-taught, and if I listen to you, it seems that you're also developing your techniques. How do you learn?
Well, I go to a lot of classes.
Okay.
And so, yes, I'm self-taught in that it came from within me, but I've taken classes and classes and classes all over. I take classes here at Houston. Mm-hmm. We've been coming here about 15 years. I take classes in California. I take classes in Texas. I take classes in McGill. Any excuse to travel and take a class.
Class, okay. What makes a great quilt, according to you?
Well, the precision of the piecing, if it is pieced, even in this art quilt, if these points were not correct, if they were lopped off or something, that would not be a great quilt in my eyes. You know, it needs to be precise.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to hang straight. It needs to not wave a whole lot, you know. But it needs to speak to me also.
Mm-hmm.
The colors, the form, the way that it's put together. Give a message.
Mm-hmm. And this is not a traditional quilt. They're very bright colors. In your other quilts, your own projects, what's your inclination? What kind of fabrics do you use and colors?
Well, they all laugh because I love black and black and white.
Okay.
But I also like brights and batiks. So I do a lot that combines all of that.
Okay.
And lime green is my favorite color.
Okay. Well, lots and lots of green in here. Why is quilt making important for you now? Because you chose to be more active as a quilter?
Right. My husband has been really ill since we moved to the Hill Country, and he has been in a wheelchair for 2 years at one point of this time, and off and on been ill over the last 15
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like my salvation. We built our home on a ranch, and I didn't sew or quilt at that point, you know, when we moved there. And so as I started in the guild, I started sewing on the dining room table. I didn't even own a sewing machine. I borrowed my daughter's sewing machine. And finally, I bought a sewing machine, and my husband, after we'd been there about a year, wanted to add on a studio for me. And I was just horrified because I thought, if I do that, I'll have to do it. You know, it'll become a job. I'll have to do this. But I let him talk me into it, and we added on a studio off of our bedroom, and it's just been wonderful. You know, it's saved my life. It really has. And the year that he was so sick, I made this silly quilt, and I named it She Almost Came Undone, and I used these crazy women with looked like their head was exploding, you know, because it was difficult. And this just calms me, and it makes me happy, and just puts a smile on my face. And my husband loves that.
I can imagine that. It's very important to have your own time when somebody's ill. If you could tell somebody to become a quilt maker, what would be your emphasis? What would you tell them to go and quilt?
Oh, I would tell them that, first of all, to submerge themselves in the history of quilting and to see where it came from and how important it was, not only in women's lives, but in men's lives also. And to see what stories there are out there. And then to think about what their story is and what they want to tell and how they want to be remembered for their quilts.
Now, how would you like to be remembered for your quilt?
I think I would like to be remembered as someone who was generous and kind and wanted to share not only my quilts, but my love of quilting and my excitement for it. It just turns me on every day. I just get so excited, I can hardly stand it.
How many hours do you spend quilting?
Yes. Well, the only problem with that is that I also travel a lot. We have 11 grandchildren, and so I like to go and visit my grandkids because none of them live where we are, and I don't want them to forget me. So, of course, I've made them all quilts, too. But I can't find time to stay in my room, but when I'm at home, you know, I'm out there 4, 5, 8, 10 hours a day. It just depends on the day. And so I spend a lot of time out there. And right now I'm making a silk table runner that's embroidered. I have an embroidery machine for our daughter-in-law for Christmas. Yeah. So I'm just hoping I'm going to get it finished. I've done 5 blocks. I have to do 44.
Okay.
And I think this is the 1st of November. I've got to hurry.
You do? And have you infected other people in your family to quilt?
Both of our oldest granddaughters have made quilts. The oldest one just got married, and she made a quilt for her then fiance for Christmas last year. And when she finished, she said, never again. Now, the second one is making a quilt for her fiance, and she loves it. So I think I've infected the bug in her, and I'm really excited.
Yeah.
And I did make that granddaughter a quilt for her wedding, and I made our daughter one also. And I had everyone sign squares at the wedding, and that was the back. And I did, the top of my daughter's was called Steps to the Altar. It was very traditional. And then the top of this granddaughter's was all machine embroidery applique. So it looks very traditional also, even though it's done with the new methods.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned that you were in a quilby together. Do you also go together to the quilt festivals?
Yes. Yeah. There are three of us here together this time. Okay. Everybody does. No, 4 of us here. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And which people have influenced you? Which artists?
Well, I've certainly been influenced by Carol Doak. I love paper piecing. In fact, I've taught paper piecing. I really enjoy that a whole lot. I've been influenced by Alex Anderson. I've taken classes from her. I've been influenced by some art quilters, too. Esther Reed Austin is just my absolute favorite, and she's so different from me, you know, and I just love her techniques and the painting, which I never thought I was a painter at all, and I've learned to paint on fabric. It's amazing. So I think those would be my top 3.
And you would be incorporating those techniques maybe in a next quilt?
Maybe so, yes. Yeah? In fact, I'm doing one for my husband now that's totally not traditional. It's an outhouse. He wanted me to make him an outhouse.
Okay.
So I have...
What is an outhouse?
Oh, you don't know what
no,
an outhouse
I'm sorry.
Is. Oh, okay. An outhouse is a place you go to the bathroom.
Okay.
That's a hole in the ground,
okay.
And it's a little wooden structure over it.
Okay.
Before
right.
we had indoor
yeah,
plumbing.
I know now. Okay, I understand now. I thought it was a technique.
And so I have glued this whole outhouse. I've cut little strips of fabric and made the boards look like, you know, with different shadings. And I have glued the whole thing down. And now I'm getting ready to quilt it down.
Okay.
So it's totally out of my box because I didn't like gluing when I was in kindergarten. And I'm not sure I like it now because it gets on my hands. I don't like that. But I thought this would be a fun technique to try.
Yeah.
I'm always up for trying something
okay.
new.
And will you be showing other people this outhouse?
Oh, yes.
Do you have an own website?
No.
So how do you share your ideas?
With my bee and with our guild.
Guild.
We have like
okay.
250 members in our guild in our little town.
Okay.
And we have great show and tell.
Okay. Okay. Wow. What is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
I think that we're being taken seriously now, but I think it was being taken seriously. I think it was like the little old lady sitting around quilting and people didn't really understand what a quilt was and how expensive it was to buy the fabric, how
time-consuming it is to make the quilt, to dream up the idea, how it is an art. And I think Carrie has done an amazing job letting the whole world know that quilting is important. I think the Japanese women mm-hmm. have done an amazing job. I think there are lots of Australian quilters that are way top-notch, seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think that all of these people gathering together have made us be recognized in our field as artists.
And so it's a sharing thing as well,
yes,
quilting. How do you balance your time? You already described something. You spend a lot of time in your studio, but you have other important things.
I do. I burn many a dinner because I would forget and I would go out there. So I asked my husband for a timer for Christmas last year, an old-fashioned timer. So I, you know, I put the supper on and then I'll go out there and I'll turn my timer on. That's how I'm balancing, is with the timer.
Okay. I can imagine. What are your plans in the future for, with this quilt?
Well, this quilt belongs to Linda, but okay. So it hangs in her home.
Okay.
My quilt that's in the book belongs to me, and it hangs at my house.
Okay.
And
where does it hang?
That's the problem about my house. I have no walls. I mean, you know, it's a real open plan and everything.
Okay.
So it's in my living room.
Okay.
But it looks great there, too. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And we did learn not to make them quite so big so they would hang on people's walls,
okay,
because mine is bigger than this even. So it's hard to hang, you know, that size quilts. But my friends wanted me to be sure and tell you that I have lots of quilt boxes with all of my quilts stacked in them because I just keep making them. And I do give away a lot, but I have a lot that I want to keep. And so I just have them folded up in my little quilt boxes.
Okay.
Everywhere.
And do you have quilts for your bed, for example?
I have quilts for my bed for every season.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Made a huge Christmas quilt. We have a king-size bed. I love that. And I have one that has stars on it. And then I have another one that's red and white that's not Christmas.
And what do you use for material to make your quilts?
Oh, they're all cotton.
All cotton.
Okay. Yes,
okay.
I'm a cotton person.
Okay.
I'm a traditionalist. Yes.
What do you think makes a great quilter?
I think we talked about that.
Did we?
Yes.
Then we'll skip that.
Okay. Because I talked about it.
Do you use in your bee a design wall?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, I have a design wall. In fact, I have two design walls in my studio, and we use a design wall at our bee for sure. You cannot do something like this without a design wall.
Mm-hmm. And how do you then, for example, when you think how it's going to be laid out together and you go home and you do your own thing, how do you manage to keep the ideas?
We take pictures.
Okay.
We take pictures when it's on the design wall, and then that helps you also see if something looks right or not.
Okay.
When you look through a photograph, you know, a digital picture, you can really see where something is out of place or you want something a little different.
Okay.
And I do that a lot at home also.
Okay.
You know, I'll have stuff up and I'll think it looks good, and then I'll take a picture and I'll go, oh, that's not right.
And so you're incorporating also different technologies to improve your quilting. And what other things do you use to get it across, to experiment?
To experiment. We're not tied to making something and making sure it's going to be in the quilt.
Mm-hmm.
You can make things and it won't be in that quilt. It'll be somewhere else.
Okay.
We also made a quilt together of a woman. We called it Woman Interrupted. It was a Van Gogh painting.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't decide. We brought all these books of different painters, and
mm-hmm.
we voted on which one we were going to do. Then we chopped her up into 8 pieces, but not 8 squares. And then we each went away, and we could not talk to each other this time. And we each made our piece. However you wanted to make it, you could applique it, you could piece it, you could paint it, and you couldn't talk to the people, other people, and tell them what you were doing, and then we put it all back together, and it was amazing. And a couple of the people who were new to RB, who were traditional quilters, mm-hmm. were panicked. They said, this will never work, you know, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And I had half a hand, and I painted my hand, and then the other person who had the other half of it, thread painted hers, and it looked fine.
Okay, so how do you handle that in a group? I mean, if people want to have more structure and not...
We just laugh at them on the back.
Okay.
Keep on going.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of encouragement.
You know, mm-hmm. but we're very compassionate and caring for each other.
And is it important that it's, you said eight people are in the B? Is that number of eight, is that important for you? Would it work if you were becoming 10 members, do you think?
It wouldn't work for us because the place we go on retreat only can handle eight people.
Okay, so it's restricted to by the retreat.
Homes also. Mm-hmm. And getting more than eight in a home where you're working is hard.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We also make lots of charity quilts together and do lots of other fun things.
Okay. What makes a quilt appropriate for a museum or a special collection?
My quilts are not appropriate for a museum or a special collection. I don't know. Maybe someone who has won top prizes. By that I mean the big prizes at mm-hmm. the big shows, at the Dugor here or the Mancuso shows or something. I think one of those quilts would be appropriate for a museum.
Okay. And you wouldn't consider the quilt that you've brought today to be good enough for a special museum collection?
Well, good enough. Probably yes. I mean, I think that we did an excellent job. I think our quilting is wonderful. I think our design is great. I think it makes you smile when you look at it.
Exactly.
I think it's a very
mm-hmm.
happy quilt.
Yeah.
But I really want our art to be recognized. And I think the people that are making the quilts that are winning the $5,000, mm-hmm. $10,000 prizes mm-hmm. are incredible.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. way even above this.
Okay.
So that's the kind of quilt that I think belongs in a museum.
Okay. And what's the function of the museum then for you, for as a quilt maker? I mean,
to go and to see the top of the top.
Okay.
Quilts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. For
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. When you were invited for the interview, what did you want to bring across during the interview?
I really wanted to get across the joy and the camaraderie of working in a group.
Okay.
Because my piece is a group quilt that's mm-hmm. in the book, I mm-hmm. really wanted to stress not just the individual quilt maker, but how important it is to have a group and to be able to work together.
And how do you, and besides sharing the ideas, how do you work as a group? I mean, how does that function? What's important?
Yeah, it's important that we all do listen to each other and that we care about each other beyond quilting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, we've had one member die, and that was very hard on all of us.
Yes.
And we've had people that have been ill, husbands that have been ill, you know. And we just share so much more than just the quilting. But it's really important that we share new ideas, new techniques,
mm-hmm.
new quilting little gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody
mm-hmm.
will come and say, oh, look what I found. And we all go, oh, I gotta have that, you know. And we go running around to get it. And one of our members is an amazing applicator, hand applicator. And two of them are, actually. And some of us really aren't hand applicators at all. And so they've been teaching us and working with us and doing things like that. And then somebody will go to a class and they'll learn something and they'll come back and teach that technique to us. Not in a formal way, but sitting around saying, you want to learn how to do this? And we'll say, yes, so we'll bring scraps or whatever and learn how to do whatever it is.
And you said that some people left the group and moved away. And how do you find the right person to join the group? Because it's
difficult. Yes, because we're very close.
Yeah.
When Marilyn died, we had a really close friend in our guild, and we asked her to come the next year.
And then when we had two members move away, we waited a long time before we asked somebody, and we did. And when she went on retreat with us that year, she said, "Now, I know that I'm on probation here," and we laughed, you know. But it's worked out fine. We've been very fortunate.
I can imagine that it's always a little difficult and scary to get a new member.
Right, it is.
You said that you collect and sell quilts.
No, I don't sell, but I do collect. Well, I don't sell my quilts, and but I do collect quilts. But I collect my quilts, my friends' quilts, and you know, I love antique quilts too. I have several that were my grandmother's that are very important to me. And I love antique quilts, and I love tops, old tops. I have a whole bedroom that's got antique quilts and antique tops just all over it.
Okay, how great. Just quickly, what is an amusing experience that you've had?
You know, I tried and tried to think of one. The only amusing experience I can think of is, I'm sure we've had lots, but is when we were making hot flashes. It's a log cabin quilt, and we were all working together on the retreat. We made the whole thing in 5 days, that top, and we were going to name it Firecracker or Fireworks, and we have ceiling fans above the table where we work in this B&B, and somebody would say, "Oh, turn the fan on," and then somebody else would say, "Oh, I'm burning up, turn the air conditioner down," and we go in January, so it was chilly, you know, and somebody kept saying, "Oh, my gosh," and somebody said, "I'm having hot flashes," and we decided to name the quilt Hot Flashes because we were all having hot flashes. So that's what we named it.
Great explanation for the name. I'm going to slowly end the interview. Is there something that you would like to be documented forever and ever?
No, I can't think of anything except that quilt making is so important. Touching of the fabric, the looking at the threads, the relationships that you build with other people in the in your groups, in the world. I've met women from all over the world. We met a woman from England at the here about 5 years ago, and she ended up coming back and staying with us. And you know, you just form relationships through this art, and it is an art.
So your message is actually quilting is sharing.
That's right. Quilting is relationships.
I think this is a nice end. I'd like to thank you, Helen, for allowing me to interview you today, and for the Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, the Oral History Project. Our interview concludes at
9:44.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.